listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Well, welcome to Full Power Living, where we're dedicated to awakening the world to the power, importance, and mastery of human emotions. Do you see your own body as a communicative partner that always supports you? That is what it is, according to my guest today, Ronelle Wood, because there is inside of you and inside of all of us a gossamer connective tissue that surrounds and supports everything. Our topic today is Touching Light, How to Feel Your Fiber Optic Fascia. So please post your comments and questions on our blogs, which our conversations, which can be found on emotionalpro.com and on blogtalkradio.com/FPL. You can also talk with me or Ronelle over our toll-free number, 888-498-0570, and you can sign up for our broadcast through subscription on iTunes. Sign up for Full Power Living. Ronelle Wood is a leading specialist in myofascial release therapy. She's also author of Touching the Light, How to Free Your Fiber Fascia, and with her partner Joe Cox, I hope I'm saying that right, she co-owns and co-operates Ojai Healing Movement Sanctuary in Ojai, California. And having found authentic long-term healing for her own injury, Ronelle is eager to pay it forward by telling the world about the amazing fiber optic network in our bodies and how we can heal it, work with it, and nurture it for our lifetime. You can find her at ohmsanctuary.com. And Ronelle Wood, welcome to Full Power Living.
I'm so happy to be here.
I'm very enthusiastic, as I was telling you right before we started the show. I'm very enthusiastic. As I read your book, I realized that I'd been looking for a solution to some of the issues, which largely have to do with lifetime patterns of movement and holding my body. And as I read your book, I thought, I think I'm moving to Ojai, California, just to be near you so I can get this all done. So I'm very excited to talk with you today. So you share your definition of fascia. You say it's a sheet or band of fibrous tissue that envelops, separates, or binds together muscles, organs, and other soft tissues of the body, or a tissue occurring within such a sheet or band. And you also call it a web that connects everything in the body. Well, I think most of us aren't aware of this enormous part of our body, yet it's quite important and amazing. So will you tell us more about it, please?
Absolutely. That definition is a real snoozer, I have to admit. And that's just to get that out of the way so we can get on to what's super exciting about fascia. And here's what I have to say. We have, prior to now, studied the human body on cadavers to learn about how it's put together. And when we looked at fascia on a cadaver, it looked like slimy, gray packing material that just separated things in the body and surrounded things in order to keep it all together. And that was not at all what we saw when we looked at living tissue. There is a wonderful hand surgeon in France who asked the permission of his clients to use his fiber optic surgical tools to videotape what he saw when he went inside the body and magnified the connective tissue 25 times. And we discovered that the fascia is made up of little strands, like spaghetti, of fiber that are translucent, so you can see through them. And they contain ground substance or a form of water in the body, and they conduct light. And that is what is so exciting to all of those of us who are fascia geeks. And if you were a colleague, you and I would just say, oh, I knew it, and we would go on and talk about what we see when we work on patients on the table that kind of reflects this idea of the fascia as fiber optic. But I seem to be blessed with the gift of gab in my ability to take all of the really boring scientific research language and translate it so that anybody can understand it. And that's my purpose today, to be able to communicate the ideas in my head out to your listeners so that they become incredibly empowered in their own understanding of their body, and they realize that solutions for their health are much simpler than Western medicine might have had us believe before now.
Well, that is a job. Well, you know, I wasn't sure I understood what a fiber optic system was, so I looked it up, and I just want to mention, to get us all on the same page, that what I found is that fiber optics have to do with the transmission of information as light impulses along a fiber. Mm-hmm. And so what you're saying is that this fascia in our bodies transfers information and light through our bodies.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I don't have to explain too much to anyone anymore about fiber optics, because we all have cable.
Uh-huh.
And those messages come into our home through these little glass fibers that are fiber optic, and it transmits that information, that signal, into our home through these cables. The implication for your health starts with the realization that information is transferred throughout your body about where you are in space, and that's a word called proprioception, to know that your arm is over your head or that you're upside down or sideways, and how your whole body is coordinating with itself. And these messages transmit much faster than any nerve impulse they've been able to measure. So we know that the fascia communicates, and now we're beginning to understand the mechanism of the communication is through the fibers and by means of light, which carries information. So what else can we conclude from that? We're speculating right now, and neuroscientists are doing research studying the role of fascia in our consciousness. So
that's what I wanted to ask you about.
Yeah.
It's got to be. Go ahead.
Yeah. If it is light and the light is carrying information, and you've heard expressions like she lit up a room, or they were glowing, or there's somebody who really shines, you might understand that we have always intuitively known that about people. That there are people you encounter, you perceive as kind of dull or shut down or unhappy and not emanating light. And those who do emanate light are usually characterized as influential and happy and vibrating at a high frequency. And people have asked me, what is the light? Where does it come from? This is the role, I think, that our directive to get out under the sun comes in handy. I think it is the sunshine that shines through your skin that is the light source. And we all know that sun is vital to our health and longevity. And if we are shut in, if we are in weather that has cloud cover, a lot of the time people develop seasonal affective disorder, and they're not exactly sure why that is, but they do know that sun lamps help. So there are many things that we are now excited to learn more about now that we know that the fascial system is fiber optic. But it has two other functions as well, and those are little understood by the general population. Mostly medical doctors understand fascia as packing material, and when they do surgery, they just cut right through your fascia with no regard to the far-reaching implications that it has over the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years of your life. Because when fascia is cut, those little fibers don't repair in the same way that they were beforehand, which meant that they lay down in the same direction as the muscle. When they are cut, they repair like plaid, back and forth, crisscross and diagonal, and they thicken to create a scar. On the surface of the skin, you might see a little white line. Underneath the skin, you may find that the fascial fibers are trying to stabilize and they reach out and wrap around other structures inside your body. So you may have had a C-section 30 years ago and you're having abdominal pain, trouble with elimination, problems with your reproductive system, and your doctor would never attribute that scar from back then to your complications now, but that is exactly what's going on in people, is that they have scar tissue, also known as adhesions, that inhibit the smooth flow of blood and lymph and light through your body. So it's really important that we understand when a person is going to get surgery, they really need to have this issue addressed, and it could tremendously help doctors by recommending myofascial release after a surgery, because it will shorten the recovery time and reduce complications for their patients. But the other really cool aspect of fascia is its protective nature. So that's the third aspect. First, it's communicative through light. Second, it's connective. And third, it's protective. And that means when you get scared, every single fiber of fascia inside you contracts. When you hear a loud noise, you get jumpy and tight. And the purpose of that is for fight or flight. When you're afraid, you need to have spring, and you need to slow down circulation and numb nerves. And that contraction serves that purpose. But that's meant to be temporary. Oftentimes, we have a frightening experience, and our body freezes and squeezes, and we walk away from that experience without the body knowing that moment is over. Now, this is a good time for me to describe where in your body fascia is so that you understand what is being squeezed and how.
Yes.
If you imagine an orange without its peel, all that white pith still holds the orange in that circular shape, in that cylinder and that roundness. And we are just like that. Underneath our skin, we have a superficial layer of fascia that surrounds everything. So without our skin, our internal workings don't just fall down around our ankles. It's held together. But you can take a section out of an orange in the same way you can take our organs and muscles out of our body, and you'll find this really thin sheath of surrounding connective tissue like saran wrap around all of it. Each wedge of the orange is individually wrapped. Each organ and muscle in our body is individually wrapped. But you can also open the section of the orange and find that every little piece of pulp inside has its own surrounding connective tissue, and we are like that, all the way down to muscle spindle and organelle, all the way down to bone, and bone is just mineralized fascia. Every single piece is connected to each other. And so, if I am working with you on the table and I am tractioning your big toe and you get an itchy sensation in your nose, it is not coincidence. It's not random. It's information about where inside you there is a pattern of holding that's creating drag in the entire system. So that kind of helps you understand where fascia is and how, when it contracts in your body in the fight or flight response, it can exert 2,000 pounds of tensile strength. This can explain why, in extreme cases, a mom is able to lift a car off her kid in a moment of extreme danger. But you can also understand that that kind of pressure inside your body can really exert some negative effects if that squeeze goes uninterrupted. With that understanding of your body, it explains a lot of disease processes that physicians prior to now may have called or written off the reason for it as idiopathic origin, meaning, I don't know, they don't know why a process of disease started in your body. But if you think of it in terms of your body being squeezed and strangled from the inside, it makes sense that you might develop high blood pressure, poor circulation, lack of lymph flow, and various other diseases that I would much rather see a person receive myofascial release for long before a doctor suggests a painkiller or cutting something out of you, which would create more scar tissue.
You know, as you're talking, I'm remembering years ago, my father had his gallbladder removed. And in those days, they made a fairly large incision. That was back in the, probably the 50s, I guess. Mm-hmm. And from that point on, he no longer had the strength to hold his belly expanded. Is that, tell me how fascia is involved with that.
Well, there are many factors, including the muscle, if the muscle was cut, which it was, in order for them to get through the abdominal
yeah.
wall to the gallbladder, that weakens the system. What can happen is that the whole body flow gets interrupted and the fascia clamps down in response to a message of fear. And that can happen particularly when you're under general anesthesia and they cut you open. When you come back out of that, the entire fascial system panics. It wasn't ready for that. It was put into unconsciousness so that it couldn't protect you. And it begins to develop a we'll be ready from now on way of responding. And many of us are in that mode. We weren't ready for something unexpected, and our body is in a perpetual state of preparedness all the time. And with that clench, it interrupts the natural flow and process in your body so that fluid accumulates, lymph backs up, and areas of your body become inflamed and overstuffed.
Go ahead. Well, I just was aware that usually or lately more and more people are talking about inflammation as being a beginning point or a part of the origin of a number of illnesses.
Yes, and it's regarded as a bad thing. Inflammation must be stopped. We must give this person a drug to slow down inflammation. And there's a section in my book where I explain that inflammation is a good thing. It's part of the healing process. But it can get out of control in a system that doesn't allow for smooth emptying out of the lymph and the bladder and flow of circulation through areas to help clean things out. An example that I can give that helps to explain something about your body that you'll probably never forget after I explain this helps you to understand what happens in terms of interruption of flow and inflammation and tightness and holding in your body. Imagine that cave woman used to be able to have an honest reaction to adrenaline. she would come around a corner, encounter a wild animal, get a huge shot of adrenaline right from her where the adrenal gland sits on top of the kidneys, straight to the psoas muscle, which is right in the center of you on either side of your belly button, and runs down to attach to the top of each leg. And its purpose is to lift your leg for fight or flight. And she would. She would fight that beast. She would run to safety. And in the process of using her muscles, she would metabolize through all of that adrenaline from the fear response and the lactic acid and uric acid byproduct of her muscular use. It would flush into her kidneys, and she would pee it away, all clean, all metabolized and taken care of. When you think of what we are going through in every day as a modern woman, you realize that much of our time is spent telling our body, not now. A great example is you're behind the wheel of your car, driving along merrily, and someone suddenly pulls out in front of you, and you get exactly the same amount of adrenaline cavewoman used to. And it shoots right to the center of you, and you get that buzzy feeling in your stomach. But you cannot obey that adrenaline by kicking and running, because it would be dangerous. So you have to tell your body, not now. And your fascia clamps down, particularly around the psoas muscle, and it traps the adrenaline, the lactic acid, the uric acid, against the surface of the muscle, stopping you from moving. After that moment, you have still a half an hour to drive home. By the time you get there, you may process it intellectually by saying, some jerk pulled out in front of me, nearly killed us all, scared me to death. Or you may have forgotten that it happened altogether, and your body is still carrying that freeze response around with you, uninterrupted. So the sympathetic nervous system is just firing, 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 squeezing, squeezing, squeezing. And if you knew that it was good for your biology to have a temper tantrum, you could go and excuse yourself from public scrutiny and close the door and not have anybody watch you, but lie on your bed and kick your feet gently to start with, and maybe pound your fists a little bit to start the whole process of allowing that animal response to complete. You may end up really having a full-on two-year-old temper tantrum involving screaming into a pillow and saying politically incorrect things like, I'm the good one, how come me, it's not fair, that was stupid, and all the other things that you would never let yourself say, but that your body needs to tell the truth about that happened in that moment of fright. And when you're done, you're empty. You can metabolize with all that movement, all of that off of the surface of your muscles, and it loosens the saran wrap. It allows blood to get between the layer of fascia and muscle and clean you out and carry all of that byproduct, that cocktail of chemistry, of fear, out of your muscular system and into your kidneys, and you can pee it away. And what happens is that kicks in the parasympathetic response, which releases dopamine, endorphin, oxytocin. So what I'm actually describing is your body is literally letting go of fear in the form of lactic acid, uric acid, and adrenaline, and filling up with love.
Wow, that's a nice way to say that. That process you were describing, there was something called bioenergetics that was popular in the 70s in California, mm-hmm. which was essentially that. My daughter was about 4 at the time, and she called it practicing having a tantrum.
Yes, so, we all suffer from severe lack of temper tantrum.
Ah, that's really wonderful. Well, Ronelle, it's time for our break, and
All right.
I do want to mention to you who are listening that on both of the chats, I have put the search topic for you to go online and search on Google and find the short film that you have narrated, Ronell, about living fascia 25 times magnified. So check on the chat and get that and check it out. It's fascinating. It's only a minute and a half or something like that. It's very short. So my guest today is Ronell Wood. She's a leading specialist in myofascial release therapy. She's author of Touching the Light, How to Free Your Fiber Optic Fascia. And we'll have more on this fascinating topic when we return. You're listening to Full Power Living.
Everybody feels anger, but if you don't learn to deal with it, anger can mess up your life. It can cause you relationship problems, difficulties on the job, or create health problems. If you want a way to understand and work with anger that's simple yet so powerful it helps you to put an end to the specific angers that are messing up your life, then you'll want to get a copy of a mini course I've created for you entitled Reduce Anger Now. With it, I want you to be able to figure out what's stimulating the anger you feel and have an easy way to change that anger so you can dramatically reduce the anger in your life. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, longtime psychotherapist, coach, and anger expert. I've helped thousands of people to master anger, and I want you to begin to become an anger master in your life. Order Reduce Anger Now at the store, www.emotionalpro.com. That's www.emotionalpro.com.
Welcome back to Full Power Living. I have a few announcements. First, go now to emotionalpro.com, which is our home page, to get your copy of my free list of the signals of 7 everyday emotions. Those will help you immediately to move toward mastery over the emotions that come up in your life. And while you're there, please sign up to be on our mailing list so we can send you our biweekly newsletter telling you about our programs. Next week, my guest is Lisa Lutan, who is author of Busy, Stressed, and Food Obsessed. If you or anyone you know are battling binge eating, sugar cravings, or other types of emotional eating and are having difficulty breaking free from those patterns, Lisa offers understanding and techniques for change. So be here at 9 a.m. Pacific time, noon Eastern, next Thursday. Thank you, too, for helping us with our mission of transforming our world through understanding the importance, mastery, and power of human emotions. Emotions are part of everything, so focusing on emotions allows us to explore many frontiers of change and transformation that are now occurring in these very exciting times. And when you listen to our show and share the ideas you hear on it with others, you help us with our mission, and we are grateful to you for doing that. Today, I'm talking with speech pathologist, massage therapist, level 3 Watsu practitioner, myofascial release specialist, co-owner of Ojai Healing Movement / Sanctuary, and author of Touching Light, Ronell Wood. So, Ronell, you got interested in this through an injury. Could you give us a brief rundown of how you got drawn to this work?
I try to keep that kind of short because as a woman, I can give so many details. It turns into a very long story. And I'll say this, that I was raised to be a good, quiet, Christian girl. And in my effort to be that, I found later on that I was holding like crazy in my body, working hard to appear as though I did not have a human animal inside, and that I could be always counted on to be sweet and appropriate. So I found myself getting an education my parents found acceptable in their very strict and rigid Christian religion. And I also was responding to my father's often violent acting out when we were kids that helped me to develop a pattern of, uh-oh, look out, watch out, be careful. And as a speech pathologist, I found my body aching all the time as I sat in little chairs in school situations and traveled from home to home giving treatment and being discouraged that with some clients it would take a very long time for progress to be shown and sometimes not at all, but my boss would be telling me, well, you know, insurance authorized 12 visits, so you have to keep going whether they show progress or not. And I went in search of relief from pain and found a massage therapist. And my husband was a physician, and he thought about massage therapy more along the lines of massage parlor and was very judgmental about it being quackery and dishonorable. So I not only had pain, but I had to sneak to try and find a solution for it. And one day I was on the table and I said to my therapist, you must have the best job in the world because you know you're making someone feel better right this minute. And as an unlimited thinker, she suggested that I become a massage therapist, which I told her was ridiculous because I had a huge education and a husband and children and I couldn't just turn my back on all of that. And so she watched my children for me while I went to massage school. And she really facilitated opening up my world and my body. So for 8 years I did that. I had actually one foot in both worlds for a while till it became painfully obvious that I was not showing up for work as a speech pathologist, not handing in paperwork, and this dissonance between who I really was and who I was trying to appear to be just became very obvious. And so I just threw all of my effort into being a massage therapist. And after 8 years of doing what I call the fluff and fold massage with lotion and oil, I had satisfaction in helping people feel better that day, but they would come back in with the same complaints, and I went in search of something that was going to provide more long-term relief, and that's how I found John Barnes' method of myofascial release. And in that first seminar, I was quite skeptical. I am known for being quite skeptical. I sat in the front row with my arms crossed, thinking, tell me something I don't know. And in my first experience on the table, I experienced what they call an unwinding, where I realized I was super angry and trying to hide it because I thought I'm wasting my time in this workshop and I'm not buying it. And if they were to help me really feel better, that would almost be too good to be true. So when they put their finger on my chin that was wiggling because I was holding so hard trying not to be angry or cry, they said, let that sound out. And my thought was, you can't handle that sound.
Wow.
But they meant it. And they provided a pillow for me, and I was able to let the sound out into the pillow and realized after this movement of noise through my body and kind of a twisting that came through my body that I was working through a really difficult birth experience from 10 years before when my second child was born. I was 3,000 miles from home. I'd lost my wallet that day, and my husband at the time had to leave right afterward and left me with my new baby and my 20-month-old and was gone for 3 months. So I had to suck it up at that time, and I didn't realize that I'd never had an opportunity to let go of the fear and tension from then. So it was from that point forward I changed my entire approach to working with bodies. and it helped me heal a torn rotator cuff injury that I had in my shoulder from doing working in massage mills at resorts where they expect you to see five clients in a row with 10-minute breaks in between, and everybody wants deep tissue. So I was really not using my body in a really healthy mechanical way, but myofascial release helped to heal that. So that was kind of my journey. And sometimes when I tell that story, while it's profound and deeply emotional and wrought with lots of pain, I realize that as I've seen other clients, my experience is small compared to what some people endure physically in a lifetime. And I just really cherish my role in life that allows me to midwife people through experiences of pain from years ago to find that allowing their body to tell the truth can help them find that pressure release valve inside and move through emotions within 10, 15 minutes that they've held on to for 10 or 15 years. And listening to the commercial that just went by where you talked about dealing with
just
anger,
bring
I was
that
like,
up. Yes.
Oh, my God, this could be a tool in your toolbox in the way that you talk to people about what the physiology of that human animal is and ways of coping that don't hurt you or anybody else and don't keep that locked inside, producing that really acidic environment in your body that causes disease to fester.
Yes, that's, you know, I was going to ask you about that next because I'm a recovered angry person. This is the way I describe myself. And I, you know, I developed ways of working with emotions that no one else seems to have particularly, but worked for me because when I went to it in the 1970s, there was no material, not even in the therapy literature about you know, what's anger all about. And just bottom line, and I think it really fits with what you're talking about, bottom line, I see emotions as tools that have been given to us human beings. They are energy in motion, and therefore we need to keep them moving. And as you're describing with the myofascial work, you know, the culprit for myofascial work and for emotions, probably the same thing we're talking about, is when you stop that energy from moving. It needs to keep moving. It's only meant to come in to give us an idea of where we need to go next or what we need to pay attention to, and then we need to turn it loose.
Yes, and the movement is literal. I have the ability to create this bridge between those of us in the world of transformation who talk about energy and frequency and light and things like that, that used to make the people in the science and medical world roll their eyeballs. I can now talk about how physiologically this thing happens. And when you say move the energy, I mean literally, your body must move. There has to be flow, and muscular movement is what helps to shift things around in your body and help you metabolize the chemistry that's in your body. And when people are on the table, they come in and I lay down and I say, it's okay to let go. Just tell yourself over and over again, nothing bad will happen if I let go. And then they do. And my hands are on your body, and they're moving skin without oil or lotion, and I'm finding where the skin stops moving and where there's a really thick held barrier, and I just hang out there. I don't force, because things like Rolfing caused people to brace when they felt pain. So I'll push until I feel resistance and then wait and wait and wait and wait until the body starts to shift and melt and that fascial saran wrap loosens and the blood gets between the layer of fascia and muscle and carries away that chemistry. All of that is great, but then that chemistry is in their bloodstream again. And that's when they re-experience stuff that happened a long time ago. That chemistry stimulates fear, grief, anger, rage, sadness, sometimes hysterical laughter that they've held in. And they start to wonder if they're going crazy. And I love to be able to tell people, this is not you going crazy. This is you going sane, as your body is letting go of something, not taking something new in.
Yes.
And
oh,
that
that's wonderful.
Emotional relief on the table. Yeah. Not something to be afraid of, because we weren't given this many nerve endings to learn how not to feel.
Yes.
Our tool for responding to the world.
Yes.
And you can't heal what you don't feel.
That's very interesting. You know, right before we started the show, it was shared with you that I just arrived home from a trip to Ecuador. I was there for about 2 weeks, just day before yesterday. And it was, I've been working on this before I went, but when I got to Ecuador, the culture is so heart-oriented that I could feel my heart opening up. And I started to be very weepy at the, you know, a friend wrote me an email at a drop of a hat. And I've been through that two or three times in my life when my heart opened. I just cry over everything.
Yes.
And chemistry?
Yeah. The chemistry that's coming out. And it's something that I encourage people to do. I tell them, just let yourself feel and feel and feel and feel, and know that after this session, you may go home. What used to happen to me is I'd be in my car and have to stop at a crosswalk, and somebody would walk across the crosswalk, and I would just have such empathy for that person and think, oh, we are all connected and we are part of the same fabric. And I just allowed myself to be that sensitive. And I'll tell people, be gentle with yourself if you're going through this treatment, and don't expect yourself to be able to maintain your mug like you used to be. And don't be around vexatious people. And imagine that you have a little kid with you now that you're watching out for and checking in with to find out, what would you like to do now, honey? Would you like to go snuggle, you know, and indulge the sensitive part of you that has been layered over in a lifetime of being protected and safe, and know that you're still safe, and it's okay to be a feeling person, because the perception of toughness is that you're strong. And we've had a lot of opportunity to prove how tough we are. But in truth, the more fascial clenching that's going on in your body, the weaker you are able to respond in the world, because it inhibits your movement. It drags you. It is exhausting. It drains you of energy. And if those patterns are left uninterrupted, fascia begins to ossify and turn into bone. And that is why you'll see older folks who are stooped over permanently, can't straighten up anymore. A really good example of how the fascia can turn to bone is if you know anything about hammer toes.
When you look at
a person, hammer toes, a person's toes that are permanently bent in a gripping position, and the toes can't lay down anymore. That's because the fascia has turned to bone, and those are now just hard things that have to be broken again and reset if a doctor wants to fix hammer toes.
Well, yes, I was surprised to find that I developed one, although given my childhood and so forth, I wasn't surprised.
Not a surprise.
Right. And I also want to empathize with you for 1 second. My husband, who passed away in January, was a neurosurgeon. And
oh, my God.
In the last 20 years as I knew him, 17 years I was married to him, I learned a lot about what quackery is and what quackery isn't, and I do a lot of quackery.
Yes. So. And isn't it funny how we pair up with these science guys?
Well, just for your information, he one time asked me, I was his third wife as he was my third husband, and he came to me one day and he said, "Why do you suppose it is that all three of my wives have been so airy-fairy?" And I said, "I can tell you in a second. In a past life, you were a warlock. You were a spiritual man. And you came to this lifetime as a scientist so that you could balance yourself. And we women are in your life to remind you of who you are."
Yes! Preach, sister!
All right, so we need to take a quick break here. I'm talking with author of Touching Light, Ronell Wood, and I'm so fascinated with this. We'll be right back. You're listening to Full Power Living.
As a parent, have you found all the parenting information you've been hearing lately a bit confusing? Are you having trouble sorting out the best response to your defiant child, or feeling hopeless about regaining respect from your teen, or determining whether your actions as a parent are the right ones? Instead of the usual pressures of parenting that you've been experiencing, you can partner with your child, raising incredible kids who are destined to become amazing adults. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, giving you the opportunity to become the incredible parent for incredible kids. We have the method and the tools. You bring your optimism for learning and the kids. Raise Incredible Kids offers a comprehensive system for raising kids who are responsible, make their own great decisions, and become immune to peer pressure. To get you ready for this new era in parenting, get my free 10-page report, Incredible Communication That Helps You Create Incredible Kids, by visiting RaiseIncredibleKids.com now. That's RaiseIncredibleKids.com.
In case you're just joining us here on Full Power Living, I'm talking today with myofascial release specialist and co-owner of Ojai Healing Movement Sanctuary and author of Touching Light, Ronell Wood, and you can find her on the web also at painreliefsanctuary.com. I really want you to check her out and look on the chat, the two chats that we have, to get the information about seeing the film that she's narrated, the video on living fascia. It's very fascinating. So, Ronell, can we help heal our fascia ourselves?
Yes, we can. I'll tell you the most basic way is to remember what it was like when we were young. In childhood, we wake up in the morning and we don't know about alarm clocks and schedules yet. And we do that full length, toe to fingertip stretch and squeal, and we allow our body to do a natural myofascial release. You can see it in cats and dogs when they get up from a nap, from tail to tongue. And my dog, Lucky, he's such a good boy. He won't do anything else. It doesn't matter if I'm dangling bacon. He gives himself that moment to do the full-length stretch before he proceeds. And if you've ever experimented with massaging an animal, you can sink your fingers so deep into them and they barely even flinch. They love it. Human beings, if you had to put as much pressure on their body, would hit the ceiling. They have so many alarm clocks, job responsibilities, and experiences in life here that have layered them over, that it causes them to be very sore and achy and full of acidity. all the time. So that's one way that you can do your own self-myofascial release, is if the alarm clock goes up, don't just hop out of bed and get going. Give yourself the opportunity to do that full internal stretch that your body's brilliant in knowing how to follow all the lines where it's squeezing and stretch it out. Another method is a workshop that I teach called Self-Myofascial Release, and I use these differing size yoga tune-up balls. Some are smaller than a tennis ball, about the size of a tennis ball, and a little bit bigger than a tennis ball. And that convexity of the ball, that 360-degree roundness, the body just adores. I go around, actually my next workshop will be in Boulder, Colorado, and for 1 8-hour day, we all lie on the floor, and I direct you where to put these balls in your body, and one of the best, most effective places is right in the gluteal muscle in your bottom when you're laying on your back. And you lay out flat like a pencil, and you first feel all the resistance, and you tune in to how much protection there is there and how annoying it is to have the ball there. And then you imagine that your whole body turns into pancake batter, and you, instead of resist, decide that you're going to absorb that ball in, and you melt and soften and sink. And it takes time because there is no substitute for time. You cannot rush the fascia. It has to interrupt all of the holding patterns, and it has to get the message that it's not being attacked, and then it starts to soften and ease, and you don't feel the initial irritation and sour soreness anymore. You begin to unwind and untwirl these patterns of holding that have been unconsciously held in your body for ages. And you are able to then tap into your natural instinct to roll where it feels like it would be a really awesome place to take the ball. And once I help folks tap in to that instinct, they can take it from there. They know where they want to put the ball to find those places of holding that they often respond to with a sensation of, oh my God, I did not even know I was holding in the top part of my chest or in the space between my eyebrows. And so I help folks roll it out.
Wow, that's very interesting. What is the URL where people can go to sign up for that workshop?
OmSanctuary.com on our website. There are drop-down pages, and it's under workshops. So
okay.
If anybody wants to sign up for any of our upcoming workshops, they can go there. If anyone is interested in having me come to their area, we usually need about 20 people to make the travel and time worth the trip. And if you have a group in your area who would love to get together and experience this really wonderful, groundbreaking method and technique, you can contact me at Ronelle, R-O-N-E-L-L-E, at omsanctuary.com. That's OHMsanctuary.com.
Thank you. And while we're at it, your book can be purchased on Amazon and almost all book outlets, as well as be found on your website?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
And the book contains QR codes, which are these little black squares that your smartphone can read. And if you hover your smartphone over the black squares in my book, it will take you immediately to that YouTube video that I made, which are excerpts that show you the living fascia magnified 25 times in a minute and 20 seconds. It will change your entire perspective on your own ability to soften and melt and take this letting go approach to your body, moving painkillers and surgery way down on your list of solutions to pain and injury.
You know, watching it reminded me I had the privilege of being in the operating room with my husband for four different operations, some on the brain and one on the spine. And the one on the spine was a man who'd worked as a garbage collector for years, and he had hoisted these heavy cans up over his spine, and he had grown a lot of bone, like you've talked about, stressed many times. And so his spinal cord had very limited movement, and the operation was to chip off some of that bone so the spinal cord had more room to move. And looking at those little tubules with the fluid moving through them was just like watching what happened, where there was just this tiny movement in the spinal cord, and then when my husband chipped off the bone, it just opened up like a river and was so beautiful to watch. Oh, how much energy was going through it.
That is amazing. What a privilege that was to see.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It took me a while. I was dating him for a while. I wasn't married to him yet. And I just went, oh, my goodness, I'm dating a neurosurgeon. Is it possible I could see surgery? And he was delighted. So it was my pleasure. So speaking of doctors, I wanted to say that on television, drug companies have taken to telling the public about their drug and suggesting that they ask your doctor whether this drug is right for you to take. And so I was wondering if you want to suggest to our Full Power Living public that whenever they have an injury or a surgery, they might want to ask your doctor whether she or he will order facial, myofascial work.
Yes.
Knowing. Yeah, okay, so you want to expand on that for a second?
Yeah, I want to mention three things, and I hope I remember all three of them. One is where to find someone in your area who does myofascial release.
Yes.
The other is, what good is a diagnosis? And the other is that myofascial pain can be used to get a prescription for myofascial release. So it has its own diagnosis code, and some doctors know about it, not enough. And if they did, we would help them tremendously, because doctors are always looking for how to have a patient come in and see them less, have fewer complications, and recover more quickly. And myofascial release does that by restoring flow. So yes, you can ask your doctor for a prescription for myofascial release, and some insurances will reimburse up to half the cost. Okay, the second thing is, how do you find somebody? My mentor, John Barnes, has his own website where you can plug in your zip code, and it will help you locate a therapist near you, because he's been teaching people how to do this for 40 years, and they're everywhere. So the name of that website is myofascialrelease.com, M-Y-O, F as in Frank, A-S as in stop, C-I-A-L. Has nothing to do with a facial. It's myofascialrelease.com. And the third thing is, oftentimes when we're given a diagnosis, and it sounds like the patient that you observed probably was told he had spinal stenosis.
Exactly.
It often gives the patient a really sad sense of inevitability and being a victim. One diagnosis in particular is degenerative disc disease. Just saying that can cause someone to clench in their fascia and worry about moving and think, oh no, I'm going to chip something, it's going to fall apart. And the truth of that diagnosis is doctors can't even agree that it's A, degenerative, or B, even a disease. And it often resolves without treatment, or it never resolves with intensive treatment, and they can't figure out what the deal is. I don't care much about diagnoses. I want to see someone and begin alleviating the tension and pressure inside their body by tapping into that fishnet of fiber optics inside them. If we can get that weave to open, then energy can flow in the body again and alleviate the pressure. And in dealing with life, energy can flow at you and through you and not get stuck in you with tightness and resistance. Whew, I got them all said.
You did. And now it's time for us to end the show. Wow, you are correct. You have a wonderful ability to share all of this and make it common sense. And so thank you for writing Touching Light. And thank you so much for being my guest here on Full Power Living today. So as you're listening to this show, remember that next week, Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific time, I'm going to be talking with Lisa Lutan, who is author of Busy, Stressed, and Food Obsessed. And that ought to be a very interesting program. Paul Media is our producer. Thank you so much, Paul. And for now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you to pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.